Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review.
Terrific day's racing at Flemington yesterday. Group 1 racing at Rose Hill to coincide. Brendan Delaney and Brad Bishop to join me to look back on racing across Australia yesterday. Before I welcome both of the guys into the program, just an update as of last night, and further updates will come. But unfortunately, there was a fall at the Healesville Picnics yesterday. Grant Seckham was transported to Royal Hospital for precautionary scan. So we get any news on Grant, who is so well-loved in the racing industry and a stalwart of the picnic circuit in particular, we'll bring that news to you as we get it, and wishing Grant all the best, hoping for a positive outcome there. Said it was Group 1 racing. The Australian Cup was a fantastic contest. A dominant win from Prowess. Arapaho taking out the Tancred. So Group 1 racing around the country yesterday. Brad Bishop and Brendan Delaney were on course and right over it. And Brendan Delaney, I welcome you into the program. How did you enjoy the races yesterday?
Great day's racing, wasn't it? Cascadian, superb in the way he went about bursting through late to score. Thought it was a good Australian Cup, but... with a bit of a hangover of the last 3 weeks, it was almost like watching through closed fingers when through fingers over your eyes when horses were dodging over heels and being held up at the 200. Kalos was good. Goldman was exceptional. And, I think there was a star there yesterday in the Inglis race in What You Need. He has got some gears. And the way he turned his ears around and pricked them at the end of the race shows that there's he did it. And only the real good horses do that.
Fantastic. He's going to head up to Sydney for the Royal Sovereign, which is now the Arrowfield Sprint. It's a Group 2 race on the second day of the Championships and a clash with a fresh aft cabin there. We'll talk about that race in more detail later. Brad Bishop, how did you enjoy your day at Flemington yesterday?
Well, Warren, it actually wasn't that enjoyable. I battled a bout of hay fever, the likes of which I have never experienced. And unfortunately, I didn't take that as a guide that maybe a Cummings was going to win a big cup race at Flemington, because Bart Cummings was famous for saying that hay fever was the reason for his emotions after winning some of the big races there at Flemington. And sure enough, James Cummings and Cascadian got the job done. So I had to battle through yesterday, but it was good that we had some good racing on the track. Cascadian was the class horse in that Australian Cup, and for the sake of the honour roll, it was probably good that he was able to win it, and he turned in a fantastic performance. And Ben Malham, he was the star of the show from a jockey's perspective, and he hasn't ridden Cascadian that many times, but the two times that he has turned in an absolute pearl. I got second placing in the All-Star Mile last week, and then a big victory yesterday.
Yeah, a couple of rides yesterday. He might have been warming the saddle for Jamie Carr, but at least they're keeping it in the family, and Cascadian was an ice-cool ride to take out the Australian Cup.
New Marion at the 250, led by a link, Smoke and Romans. He's a shocker, pounding Campion, Nessa and Nonconformist. New Marion at the 150, pounding is picking it back, and Cascadian late. Here's Cascadian, right over the top of them, up to New Marion. Cascadian, it's the Cummings name again in the Australian Cup. Over the top of New Marion, pounding third, photo fourth, Smoke and Romans. He's
James,
a shocker.
But then more Campion, importantly, Nessa, the team behind Cascadian, Godolphin, and as James pointed out earlier on, with the Dubai World Cup run overnight and just having the Godolphin brand flying the flag in the Australian Cup, Brendan, it was an opportune time for the Godolphin Blue to be winning on this side of the world, and obviously plenty of activity on the other side of the world also.
Yeah, as much as we ran for in the Australian Cup yesterday, church change for the Sheikh, wasn't it, compared to what they run for in the Dubai World Cup, but... He deserved a big Flemington Group 1 Cascadian. He had been so close in, I think, three or four Cantalas and ran second in a McKinnon. He was always there and thereabouts. It's only his second win anti-clockwise, his first win in 9 tries at Flemington. But he got a nice cuddling ride from Ben Malham back in the field, and he was able to get the split when he needed it, because he was marking time for a fair portion of the straight before he was able to get out and let go. But it was a repeat of what we've seen of the closing effort at Moonee Valley. He was really strong to the line. I thought New Marion was excellent on the speed. Pounding settled a lot closer than what we've seen Pounding settle of late, and he's run really well coming to the weight for age big time. Smoke and Romans, I thought, battled well. He's a shocker. one of a few horses that had absolutely no luck back in the field. He didn't get the split he needed until late. The Kiwi filly Campionessa, I thought she got through like the winner at about the 300 metres. She couldn't quite put them away. El Patroness, forget she went around. Ditto Luna Flair, they went to the line firmly in second gear. Emissary probably had too much to do. Virtuous Circle just beaten for a turn of foot at the top of the straight. But I thought a real turning point in the race, Warren, was when Bear Story was allowed to stride, when it looked as though they were going to try and come up for a breather. Bear Story put it to them at about the 600, and it really allowed those horses back in the field to get mobile into the race. Although they might have been held up, they were still progressing, and that's when Cascadian was able to start picking his way through, and Ben got him to the right spot. He just needed the gaps to come, and fortunately for Cascadian and the Cummings name, the gaps opened, and through he went, and a deserved victory at Group 1 level at Flemington.
Typically analytical from Mick Price, Brad, earlier on, he's thinking that he's a shocker. Yep, Sewell's report notes a few issues. He thought that maybe he should have run third. Your thoughts on this race and performance of Cascadian in particular?
Yeah, well, there were a few members of the Beaten Brigade that were a little bit unlucky, and He's a Shocker was certainly one of them. But I mentioned Ben's ride on Cascade, and I imagine he's been ridden by some of the all-time greats of Australian racing, and I'd imagine he is quite a tricky ride because he's a horse that generally does get back in the field and finds himself with so much work to do in terms of having good horses to run past. And it's hard to do that when you have to circle the field. But what Ben's done very well the last 2 weeks is been very conservative and economical on him early and found a way through the field, and means he just got one or two less lengths that he has to make up. And when you're in races like he's been running in, it's very important that you save as much energy and save as much ground as possible. So the way he's been able to carve his way through the field and just pounce late like he did yesterday, you could see that he was tracking through the field, but it probably wasn't until about 175 metres out that the gap really came and Ben was able to get stuck into him. And then once he did, you saw that big white blaze just set out after the leaders, reel them in pretty quickly, and score a very good win. I was thinking a horse that he sort of reminds me of in the fact that he has been such a mainstay of these Group 1 races over the last three or four seasons, and he's probably not in the class of Hartnell. I think Hartnell was a little bit more classier and was able to put races away better than what Cascadian's able to do just because of that racing style. But he's probably a poor man's Hartnell, and could often have a tendency of unearthing these sort of horses. And you can just tell by the way that James spoke, A, about the team and also about the horse after yesterday's race, that he means so much to the Godolphin team. And to have a horse like that winning big races on big days is very deserved. He's now won $8.25 million, which is a great reward for a horse that's been around for a little while now. And that was his third Group 1. He's a Group 1 winner of a Doncaster up near the head of the weights. He's a Group 1 winner of a 1,400-metre all-aged. And now he's a Group 1 winner of an Australian Cup. So he's got a CV that connections of any horse would be very, very proud of. And there might even be more to come. So looking forward to seeing what they do with him, not only for the rest of this campaign, but also in the campaigns ahead. Just on some of the Beaten Brigade, I thought New Marion was absolutely monstrous. They did run along quite early in the race, but he was able to box on, and his effort to finish in second spot was outstanding. Pounding just continues an amazing campaign. Smoke and Romans up to 2,000 metre, much improved performance from him as well. El Patroness, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that she was in need of a matriarch stakes. Maybe I undersold her, because I think she would have been fighting out the finish if she had have had any form of luck in the home straight. I think it was only 10 or 12 strides that the rider was really able to ask of her. She got held up early. Just when she was building momentum, she also got hampered in the final 75, 100 metres or so. So she is absolutely flying, our patroness, and I'm fascinated to see where Danny O'Brien heads with her next, because I think she could be a real force in whatever she contests, given she's got those few runs under her belt now and she's clearly going well. Luna Flair, likewise. She's come back nicely, tracking along very well. I'm not sure whether Graham Begg's thinking maybe Mornington Cup, maybe Sydney Cup. It'll be interesting to see what they do with her, but she's going well enough for whatever they head to. And I think Nonconformist, just might have done a little bit too much work early. He's at his best, I think, when he's able to descend late, like we saw in the Blamey. And that's no pot on Jordan Childs, because he probably had to do something from that wide barrier to give the horse his chance. I'm not sure whether he was going to be able to out-sprint a big field like that if he was taken right back. So they rolled the dice and it didn't work out for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, the draw was always going to be the challenge. I was giving Nonconformist a terrific chance each way yesterday, and maybe just that race shape wasn't ideal for him. I still thought he was probably slightly below his best in the home straight. You referenced El Patroness, Brad. Danny O'Brien's got her nominated for both the Queen Elizabeth and the Sydney Cup in 2 weeks' time. It would be a terrific training performance to get her out to a Sydney Cup trip 2 weeks after the Australian Cup, but she drops to 51 kilos, and as you said, I think what we know is she's going really well, and she could have well been fighting out the finish in an Australian Cup at Group 1 weight for age if you had clear running yesterday.
Yeah, 100%. She had a long time off the scene, and the thing about her as well is her career peak performance came up in Sydney, so we know she goes that way around. I've looked at the long range forecast and there's no rain. How was it yesterday in Sydney? People were complaining that they didn't get the rain before the Tancred meeting. So they got short memories, those people who have been lamenting the heavy tracks we've been dealing with for the past few years. But it's good that there's been a bit of continuity with the weather up there. I don't think she needs a wet track. She's proved yesterday that she goes just as well on firm ground. So there's a good race in El Patroness. I just hope she gets her chance to prove it.
Top of the program yesterday, it was a good day for Cindy Alderson. She top and tailed the program. She had Verenskova first up down the straight in the first.
Onto the course proper, 450 out. Serides cuddled in front by a length, Senegalia. Then came Verenskova, about to be shown her head. Further back is Megamir Lempicker, and then snapped along the rail. Still Serides at the clock tower. 200 metres to go. Now under a full drive, a length and a half in front of Verenskova. And then came Senegalia. Serides with 100 to go. Verenskova slowly but surely getting there on the outside. Serides holding on. Verenskova lunged, and it's close. Verenskova has lunged on the outside.
Bob went the way of Verenskova. She's got a good record down the straight. Looked a good race for her on paper. Brad, 54 kilos down the straight. What did you make of her performance?
Matty Hill's call echoed the sentiments of all those, and there were many of them that were on Verenskova. It was hold your breath there for the last 150 metres or so, because she just did take a little bit to warm up, and I thought she was in trouble at around about the 150 metre mark, but I think it was her class that got her over the line. She really lifted late. Serides was very well ridden, she was given her chance, kicked, did look like she might have been able to get away with that race at the 150 metre mark. She's run very well. She's performed well at a high level in the past as well. She's won a good race over in Adelaide before. So that race didn't carry a very high rating from a group point of view, but I think it was probably a little bit better than the standard of race. So there's plenty of merit there to the performance of Verenskova, particularly given what we had detailed after the race from both Cindy Alderson and Daniel Moore, just the issues they've had with her. It was interesting to hear Daniel Moore say that he thinks, from a class perspective, she's probably not that far off Asfura. It's just that she's got more issues with the makeup of her body and what they've had to overcome to get her to the track. So if they can just continue to tinker with that and she stays sound, there's a good race in Verenskova. Snapped was very unlucky just in terms of getting a run, was super late right up along the fence, as is clearly going well. And Belciel, it was good to see her run well. She was involved. She got tangled up in that fall at Moonee Valley last week, but she bounced back just 7 days later. She almost broke 33 seconds for the last 600 metres. So she was one of the sectional stars of that race, and she's clearly going well as well.
Thanks to Rhys Goodwin. Before we get your take on this race, Brendan, some great news coming through from Rhys Goodwin regarding Grant Seckham, that he's been cleared of any breaks and he's likely to be heading home today. So that's great news from that fall at Healesville yesterday. And thanks to Rhys Goodwin for passing on that news. Great to hear, Brendan, that Rhys Goodwin Rhys Goodwin can tell us that Grant Seckham's heading home from hospital today and cleared from breaks from that fall at Healesville yesterday.
Yeah, great news, because it hasn't been a great time for us of late. So we wish Grant all the best and a speedy recovery. And thanks to Rhys for keeping us in the loop there. I think this is a nice race. I think, bar maybe Ceridus and Limpicker, you could make excuses that every other horse in this field has got a really good chance at progressing through their preparation, winning next start, if not being very, very competitive. Verenskova, I was on her. I thought she was in a little bit of trouble at about the 250 when she really scrambled to the right-hand side when Daniel Moore was just starting to ask her to wind through her gears. And I was on her, and at about the 100, I thought, well, we're going to run a nice second here. But she didn't have that explosive ping that we've really seen her have before, a really sharp change-up speed. Maybe just the fact she was chasing a little bit further out than being produced late and bursting through and culminating with some of the issues that they've had getting her back to the track. Maybe she doesn't have that dash, but what she still has is a tremendous will to win. And she wasn't going down without a good tussle there yesterday, and she got her nose down at the right time. She's returned in good fashion. Ceridus with the 60 kilos. We've seen her go to Adelaide this time last year and be very competitive. You'd suggest that that's where she's heading again. She was well ridden by Blake Shin on the speed, and that's when she's run really well. Think back to the races that she did win in Adelaide. Craig Williams was really able to control them from the front, and she relished that. She's come back in good form. Brad's outlined the case for her that she probably should have won. Balciel's run well. Duchess of Dorset was getting warm in that last 100 metres. Megamia was a tick for her fresh at 1100. Generally, she's a little bit better at 1400. Unfortunate Kiss was getting warm late back down towards the inside. So I think it's a group of mares that are probably going to meet each other again in the not too distant future. But you could see some sharp improvement from those Beaten Brigade, Snapped, and Duchess of Dorset, Megamia, and Unfortunate Kiss.
Yeah, tend to agree. Snap just needs a little bit of luck in one of her races. Surely she's due for that. Thought with the weight, Ceridus was terrific first up. But I agree with you, Brendan, that Verenskova, just the way the race shaped up, she was exposed and travelling and had to use her strength. But if she can find the back of a horse and be exposed late, then she can quicken a little bit better than she did yesterday. But she was on the minimum weight. She had a few things in her favour, but plenty of merit for me, particularly with the first three across the line. Bossy Nick missed the kick in Adelaide on debut. There was no such circumstance down the straight yesterday for the filly prepared by Tony and Calvin McAvoy.
So they get serious at the 400 metres. It's Shadow Fear with Bossy Nick, who accelerates in the middle. Bossy Nick under the whip up to Shadow Fear, followed by Zuzuko, Coast Princess and Hell Queen with still a lot to do. Bossy Nick went for the doctor. 100 metres to go. Kick clear over a length in front. Lover Zoo is out late, but it's all Bossy Nick. Bossy Nick is going to stroll in. Won it by over two lengths to Lover Zoo, Treasure Way. Then a
well,
photo
Brendan,
Hell
I reckon
Queen,
we could use
Shadow
Treasure
Fear
Way as a bit of a benchmark here. She's been consistent in all her runs to date, and that form tied in with a number of these runners. And I just thought that the way Bossy Nick won yesterday, if Treasure Way's the benchmark and the way she's been performing, then as Tony McAvoy said in the previous hour, this filly's got a really bright future.
She does. She was a tremendous run at Adelaide, in Adelaide on debut there on Adelaide Cup Day. Tizenough rolled along at some really fast splits on that occasion. She got a long way back, and she chased really, really hard, but she might have just peaked on her chase there in Adelaide. She was much closer there yesterday, settling right behind the speed. She didn't have as much ground to make up, and the acceleration was there for all to see, the way she was able to take that run back near the inside and really quicken away nicely. I thought Lover Zoo did a good job down towards the inside, rode the speed, stuck it out well. You might mention her as the benchmark, Warren Treasure Way, but she was pretty unlucky there yesterday. She was on the back of the favourite Amazonian Lass and Hell Queen, thinking that they're the horses that are going to drag her through into the race. That didn't happen. She had to check up and come across heels and come late, and she's been beaten 2.6 lengths. She's probably had to concede a length and a half, maybe two lengths in coming back from what you would have thought was the A spot to be. So she's had a commendable performance there yesterday. Hell Queen, I think, could have done with a little bit of cover. She was just out there by herself. She got a bit keen, which didn't allow her to finish off. Suzuku stuck it on okay. Probably could do with a little bit of cover. Just got a little fight up there on the speed. It jumped out really well coming from off the speed in preparation for her racetrack return after a little freshen up from the Blue Diamond series. And I think she's a horse that, with a little bit of cover next time, can turn things around on what she did yesterday. But the winner, Bossy Nick, very good. She's got a lot of potential there. Treasure Way, who we're using as a benchmark, she was a little bit unlucky in the way that she didn't get the ride that she needed, had to come out and still was able to finish it off.
How do you see this one, Brad?
I agree 100% with Brendan. Treasure Way should have run a clear second. I thought just wanted to get going probably a furlong earlier than she was actually able to. She hit the line with gusto and maybe might have even pushed the winner if was able to get out. But there's plenty of merit to the performance there of Bossy Nick. Just was crowded at stages in the middle part of that race and probably took 50 to 75 metres to really hit top gear when Dean Holland did want to accelerate. But once she hit that top gear, there was a lot to like about the way she put a gap on them and put the race to bed. So it was interesting hearing Tony McAvoy, when you interviewed him in the previous hour, Warren, suggesting that she was a horse that would not have been out of place in a Blue Diamond just for something like a naming issue getting in the way. So hopefully they do get an opportunity to reap the rewards, because she does look a filly with quite a bit of ability, and the fact that they're happy to pay $22,000 late entry fee to get into a $1 million race up in Sydney later on in the carnival is a pretty good indicator of the quality that they think she does possess. So best of luck to the team there with her. I think there's an AW Brownless in the ownership of that filly there, so I'm assuming that's Billy Brownless. He's got a share in Steel City as well, so he's having a good run with his two-year-olds at the moment, Billy. Hell Queen was the horse that I was on in the race. Just didn't seem the same horse. Wasn't there for the rider when wanted like she had been in previous starts. I know that was making a big step up from a provincial maiden the previous time out, but had run well against horses that we've seen compete well at the top level in races before that. So didn't necessarily go to plan for Hell Queen there yesterday, but she's obviously got more ability than we saw, and I wouldn't be completely writing her off if Ben Brisbane does elect to persist with the campaign.
Touched on it in the previous hour before we move on to race three, but the astrologist over at Maidan overnight, so brave in the Alquaz sprint, was almost leading with 100 metres to go and three or four horses across the line, a real bob of the head in the finish there, Brendan. So great to see the astrologist and Bennett Racing and the team involved get such a good performance out of the horse on an international stage overnight.
He was super, wasn't he? It's very much in liking of what we've seen him do down the Flemington straight. Be there, be tough, and keep sticking his head out towards the back end of the race. And we know how brave he is. We've seen him run well in Newmarket. It's great to see him head overseas for the Bennett Racing team and be able to replicate that on the world stage.
Probably an indication that type of race and our sprinters generally, Brad, are regarded as so competitive on the world stage. We might see a little bit more of it. We saw Illustrious Lad head over there and be able to run well at times internationally. And the astrologist running so well in a Group 1 feature mightn't be the last we see of horses targeting that as opposed to heading to Royal Ascot.
Well, it was a great bit of placement from the team, because we know he's a horse that races at his best up the straight. Now, he did win the 1400 metre gold rush over in Perth, so he is proven beyond 1200 metres and around a bend as well, but he runs his best races up the Flemington straight. We saw that last year's Newmarket, he finished second. This year's Newmarket, he finished sixth. So they're light on for straight track options for him. So why not go over there and have a crack? I was interested to see how he would measure up. I thought if he ran to his best, he was going to be some sort of hope. And he just keeps finding that horse. At the 200-metre mark, you probably thought that there was going to be the chasing pack that went past him. But it was only in the final 50 metres or so that that horse just edged clear of him and only won by a head. So he's run a magnificent race. And I wouldn't be shocked if they have a throw at the stumps and continue on the International Odyssey and head over to Royal Ascot. I did hear Nathan Bennett in a lead up to this weekend's race say that if he won and won well, they would run there. But he has performed quite admirably there last night. And if he went over to England, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he finished top five. So that'll be something that they're going to be considering. And it might just be a continuation of an international odyssey for our man Ryan Reynolds, former colleague at racing.com, who's been over there enjoying it with a big, big number of owners who were part of the Bennett Racing team and been taking on their ride of their life with the Astrologist.
Good luck to them, and they would certainly be thrilled with that performance overnight. Race 3 at Flemington yesterday, over 2,000 metres. Sparkle made it back-to-back. Got a great ride from Blake Shin two starts ago. Celine Gaudrey repeated the dose yesterday.
In the running at the 400, Sparkle Every Hope in front. Over a length, Flying Basil Alhambra Lad. Black Pen up the middle, followed by Kettle Hill, and We Take Manhattan. But Sparkle with acceleration. 250 metres to go has put up four lengths on Black Pen Alhambra Lad, Tycoon Beck from last, and Kettle Hill. But it's all Sparkle. 100 metres to go for Celine Gaudrey. Getting a little bit tired, but has it won. Sparkle won it well. Black Pen second, Kettle
Japanese
Hill third.
Japanese Red Mare over to enhance her pedigree with the Danny O'Brien stable, and gee, she's heading in the right direction, Brad. And I think the Easter Cup might be next on her agenda.
Yeah, Danny mentioned after she won her previous start that they'd learned a bit about her and they'd just been getting her fit. They'd done that. Once she got to the 2,000 metres, she was able to dominate on speed. And then yesterday, it was pretty much a mirror image. The difference being that she didn't have things all her own way in the first 400 metres of the race. I love the ride of Celine Gaudrey in that they went into the race not expecting to lead. They didn't early, but as the race had unfolded, she worked out that she was going to be best served by taking Sparkle to the front and doing it her own way. And from that point on, it was a pretty easy watch for those that were on because, as Maddie pointed out, she skipped four lengths clear early in the straight and there was no way known any of those that were going to run her down. Kettle Hill was the one that people were probably waiting to emerge from the pack and run down because there'd been good money for Kettle Hill going into that race. But I think that's just another conviction there for Kettle Hill yesterday. I'm not sure that he's going to have the support that he had yesterday and start as short as he did yesterday in whatever he goes around in next. Tycoon Beck was one of the beaten brigade that I liked. Hit the line quite nicely. It's been an interesting preparation for her, but she was she yesterday proved she's going very well. And Black Pen was good as well. I know Mark Hunter was making a good case for Black Pen going into yesterday's race, and he's run well. Just bumped into a mare that is in absolutely peak form. And off the back of that, you wouldn't rule her out as a prospect in a race like the Easter Cup over 2,000 metres in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was even wondering if she could head on to a Mornington Cup, try and secure a spot in the Caulfield Cup, but it depends what distance range Danny O'Brien and Connections want to get her out to. But you have to be impressed with what she's done her last couple of performances, Brendan.
Yeah, she was exceptional again there yesterday. Been saying that, she's an 84 rater, and the horse that's chased her into second's a 60 rater. Yes, there was a spread in the handicap, but she's won. She's won impressively, but with the 24 points pull in the ratings compared to the second horse, she did what she had to do there yesterday. It was almost rinse and repeat from what we've seen from Blake Shin on her last time, sit in the breeze and kick onto the lead at the 1,400 metres. And Celine Gaudrey was able to replicate that, and she's riding really, really well at the moment, Celine Gaudrey. She had a terrific night at Moonee Valley on Friday night. She backed it up there yesterday on Sparkle at Flemington. Thought she'd run really well. A win is not too far away from Black Pen. He's only a 60 rater. He's eligible for much easier and is a big boy, so carrying weight probably wouldn't be against him. But, you know, he could carry 62 kilos in a benchmark 58 over this sort of trip if he wanted to and have an easier assignment. But he's run really well there yesterday. He's going to win very shortly. Kettle Hill was a disappointing run for mine. Sat on the back of Black Pen, had every chance to go past him and could only get within three quarters of a length of him. He was really disappointing. I was expecting him to at least be running past Black Pen at the back end of that race, taking weight into account. But then again, when you go and look back at the ratings, there's a 15-point difference in ratings between the pair. So he was the disappointing run. Tycoon Beck, good from the back. She just needs a really fast-run race to see her into the money again. Hasseltoff was okay for his usual Flemington run, and I'm a little bit forgiving of Alhambra Lad. There's a race in him in the not too distant future. He did a little bit of work through the early part of the race to get up outside the speedy weaker mate, but something a little easier than Saturday grade might see him win soon.
From a mounting yard perspective, I spoke to Jane Ivell after we'd looked at the horses, and we were both impressed with the improvement that Alhambra Lad had made. So hopefully you're onto something there. There could be some improvement coming from Alhambra Lad. And Brendan, I think he's deep into the preparation, so he can't be improving, but I think there's enough evidence now to say that Hasseltoff's probably better suited perhaps around 1,600, 1,800 metres and 2,000 metres sees him out?
Just that back end of 2,000. He just quite can't produce the acceleration that he does at the back end of that 1,600 to 1,800. 1,800 is probably the absolute upper limit, with 1,700 in the middle there being his real sweet spot. But he just doesn't travel into the race at 2,000 as he does over those shorter distances, and therefore he can't quite put in that same finishing burst.
One via the SMS from a part owner of The Astrologist says he's going to Royal Ascot. Well, if you are a part owner, no name there, but taking it on face value, enjoy the ride. I'm sure you are so far, and hopefully it continues on to Royal Ascot. Kalos has been gelded coming into this preparation. He made it 2 from 2 down the straight over 1,000 yesterday.
Onto the course proper with about 450 metres to go. It's Midnight Charm in front by a length to Mr. Mosaic, and they were followed by Lincoln's Cruise to Jumbuck. Kalos is about 4 off the pace, but coming on now. And then came the Bopper, who's also driving through in the orange over on the far side of the clock tower. Midnight Charm in front, grabbed by the Bopper. And on the outside, Kalos to Jumbuck coming through with a very fine red. Kalos just in front. The Bopper's coming at Kalos, but Kalos is too good. Kalos beat the Bopper, a very fine red.
How about you, Brendan? But I think the drone shot of competitive straight racing just gives a really different perspective. I was watching it from a lateral view and thought Kalos might have been having to chase down the Bopper, but you look at the drone shot and Damien Oliver seemed to always have a position where he was going to have to chase Kalos, whereas from my view, I thought the Bopper might have even had a slight advantage when the pressure went on, but wasn't the case from the overhead shot. How did you see the Bob Hoisted down the straight?
Kalos really good. I think of the pair, he got the better run, and he was dragged into the race further by those horses on his side of the track. It just seemed to me that Mr. Mosaic back there on the inside, I'm sure Ollie would have liked to have been dragged up another length or two closer in the run, and then be another length or two closer when he was trying to chase and be dragged forward maybe another, 100 metres or so before he was produced, because Kalos was still travelling when Ollie really was left on his own to go out and chase after Midnight Charm, and Kalos still had a mate there back to his inside that he could really target onto. I think that went a long way to help him winning the race, but it was a terrific ride from Ben Malham, and he just travels so well down the straight at the moment. Kalos, you go back to about the 400 metres, and he did exactly the same thing last time. He just turns his body on a little angle as if to give Ben the indication that he's coiled up and enough's enough. He's ready to let rip, and he let rip in good style there yesterday. I think the Bopper's run well as the day progressed, probably down that inside path. Mightn't have been the A-grade place to be, and you could make the excuses that outline that he would have liked to have been dragged up a little closer. A very fine reds chased nicely from the back. I think the Jumbuck was the big flashing light horse in that race. I was questioning him at 1,000 metres. He's got that real grinding 1,200 metre run in him. Did he have it in his legs to go at the 1,000? And I thought he was terrific in the way he was able to acquit himself there yesterday. Curran ran a very Curran race out the back, flashing through the line to try and get us on again next time. On the Lead, probably the disappointment we didn't see the finish of On the Lead that we've seen in recent times. But all in all, Kalos is a good straight horse. Would have been nice maybe to see the Bopper come to that outside section of the track. There was that point early on in the race where Ollie elected to go in. Had he come out, does he finish closer? We'll never know, but all honours to Kalos yesterday.
Mick D was trying to get Curran out of doing Curran things and get him going a bit earlier, and he got in trouble with the stewards. He was fined and then ultimately he was suspended when they continued on with the charge, and he'll miss 8 meetings, I think he's missing, and he'll start that next Saturday. I think he's booked to ride Mahaba for Graham Begg in the size in Sydney next Saturday, so he's elected to commence his suspension for trying to get Curran going. He'll commence that following next Saturday's racing, where he'll be at Randwick, first day of the championships aboard Mahaba. What did you make of this race, Brad?
Yeah, he ran the fastest last 800, 600, 400 and 200 metres of the day, Curran, so Brendan was bang on there saying that he's probably turned in the performances, going to want to have us on again next time or have us interested next time. And I think he's actually going really well for a race a little bit easier than what he contested yesterday, because I think the format of that race yesterday, we can trust going forward, because we know how good Kalos is up the Flemington Straight. He's won a Group 2 there before. He's won his past two starts there since being gelded. So he's clearly flying. The Bopper is a horse that has competed well at a high level. Didn't necessarily have things go his own way yesterday. And a very fine red is a horse that's run well in Melbourne in the past and run well again yesterday. So I think this is a race the form we can trust. Any of those ones that you liked yesterday, you can follow them with confidence. The one that was a little plain on the lead, Brendan mentioned that. Blake Shin after the race suggested that horse might be looking for a little bit further. So the explosive turn of foot late that we've seen in a few races of late, missing yesterday, might be stretched out in trip next time out if Blake Shin's comments are taken on by connections.
Kalos strong down the straight, winning yesterday, holding off the Bopper. Ticket in the Melbourne Cup was up for grabs in the Roy Higgins. Waterhouse and Bott dominated the race with Goldman.
A golden ticket up for grabs in the Melbourne Cup around the bend. 500 to go. Goldman in front, travelling well, hands and heels, two lengths. Youth Spirit, Midnight Blue, Swords drawn to the middle. Then Young Verta, Solcombe down the centre of the track, still has six to pick up, and then Allegron. So the front runner, Goldman, 250 metres to go. Now called upon, still clear by three lengths to Swords drawn. Solcombe and Youth Spirit, Goldman at the 150, two and a half lengths, Swords drawn, Solcombe. But it's Goldman going great guns for Geordie Childs, an up-and-coming stayer. Goldman won it brilliantly. Solcombe in second.
Way out from the Melbourne Cup, but there's a bit to discuss here. Brad, the market pre-noms for the Melbourne Cup now has Goldman an $11 favourite, and then three horses, one of them that ran yesterday, who were just real eye-catchers in their last preparations. White Marlin, $13. Francesco Guardi, $15. The same price for Solcombe following that performance yesterday. Let's start with the race yesterday. Brad, how did you see it?
It's thrown another one into the mix, hasn't it, Warren? They were the big three, those lightly raced imported horses, Solcombe, White Marlin and Francesco, that we'd seen at some point last spring who were towards the head of Melbourne Cup markets. And now Goldman is firmly in contention there. From a ratings point of view, he's down on those other three that I mentioned from a peak time form rating perspective. But what he also is more lightly raced than those horses. That was only start number seven yesterday. He's now got five wins. And that result was what the race needed. It was the first time the Roy Higgins has carried a free pass through to the Melbourne Cup. And not only the fact that it's been won by one of the most lightly raced progressive stays in the race, but also the fact that Gay Waterhouse trains. It's great that Gay's got an involvement. They can plot their path now without any pressure in the early part of the spring. That takes a lot of pressure off. And the progression you'd expect that this horse is going to make off the back of this campaign now, where he's risen from a benchmark 64 and a benchmark 78 to win that race yesterday against a horse that was so highly spruced as what Solcombe had been. Even though he was disappointing in those two runs in Sydney, I think we saw a much better performance from him yesterday. So even I don't think he ran up to what we saw from him in the Queen's Cup last spring, but he still run well, and they wouldn't be thinking that it's panic stations for his Melbourne Cup campaign. He'll be better for this preparation again. So keen to see what he does in the spring, but really excited to see what Gay's going to do with Goldman and just how high he can rise, because it's going to be an exciting build-up to the Melbourne Cup. We're not latched on to just one exciting stayer, and the build-up around the Cup's going to be revolving around him. As we've mentioned, we've got three or four of them this time around, so they'll probably take different paths. Some of them still have to earn their way into the field, and we might see that with White Marlin in a couple of months' time in the Andrew Ramsden Stakes. So I love what the VRC's done with these early free tickets. The first year that they did it with the Andrew Ramsden Stakes, we saw that thrilling finish with Steel. What's the name of that horse? The Friedman horse?
Steel Prince
and Surprise Baby. That form measured up, and we saw some really handy types go around yesterday. So I love the concept, and I love the results that they've been getting in the first couple of years of it.
I agree. I can still remember Ollie being chaired around the mounting yard following that victory of Steel Prince. Talking to Adrian Bott in the previous hour, Brendan, looking at him in the yard yesterday, particularly over his hindquarters, he's got a lot of strengthening to do. You would think he's going to develop into a stronger horse by he comes back for his next preparation. What did you make of that performance yesterday?
I thought he was very good, but I think Solcombe was equally as good considering their position in running. Goulburn was tremendously rated in front by Jordan Child. Solcombe was out the back. If you just go and have a look at the sectional breakdown where Solcombe was trying to get into the race while Goulburn was still rolling. Between the 1,000 and the 8, he's gone 12.02, 8 to the 6, 11.17, 6 to the 4, 11.10, and then he sort of petered out, which he's entitled to do. I think he just had to spend a lot of his petrol trying to get into the race from where he was with 56.5 on his back. I'm giving him a lot of credit for the way he's run there yesterday. Taking nothing away from the winner, he's done a tremendous job and was very good on the speed. But I think Solcombe's run almost equally as well. Swords Drawn was a really good effort from mine, sitting up on that speed, toughed it out really solidly. Allegro, we know he's a good stayer, battled it out well. Disappointing run for the race for mine was Young Werner. I was expecting him to be a lot more competitive than he was there yesterday. He was given a really good ride, close to that nice rolling gallop, and we've seen him be competitive in good races. He was only beaten three lengths in the Cox Plate last spring, and he was the disappointing runner. He had 56 kilos. He was only a kilo lighter than the winner. He was there with his chance and couldn't put them away. He couldn't muster anything to put into the finish. So unusual. That was a bit of a step up in grade when we're starting to talk Melbourne Cups off what he's been doing, and heard Tony McAvoy earlier on say Dean just looked after him. That was a step up in class off what he had been doing. Speaking Melbourne Cups, Goulburn, I'm not sure I could take $10 now, maybe not even on Melbourne Cup day, but there are a couple of horses in Sydney. Hopefully maybe Cleveland might find his way to a Melbourne Cup, and there was a horse from the Annabelle Neesham stable had his first run for Annabelle yesterday, a horse that's beaten Cleveland in Ireland and Gear Up, that I think might be a good chance come Melbourne Cup time after what we've seen him do there yesterday. So he's certainly not without a chance heading to a Melbourne Cup Goulburn. He's got the ticket in. He can work back from there. But, geez, he's a fair bit too short for mine at this time in play.
Obviously a lot of water to go under the bridge. But talking to Chief Handicapper David Hagan yesterday, and with the expected relatively low numbers of internationals, he thinks Solcombe would probably be getting a run in the cup regardless of whether he runs again to improve his rating. So Solcombe will be down there on a lightweight, likely to gain a start the way that Racing Victoria are just expecting the race to shape up at this stage. And Goldman obviously will have the lightweight, and he's already got that spot in the race. One of the highlights of the day yesterday around the country, certainly the much anticipated clash down the straight of What You Need and Benedetta, the Sunlight Classic.
On the course proper, KGB just in front of Benedetta as they reach the five, and then Renosu and She Dances up the outside. What You Need about to be called upon, and then a gap in the field, Arctic Fairy, Sebenac and La Danseuse Rouge. It's Renosu just in front of Benedetta over on the far side, and What You Need is now stomping up, and at the clock tower, What You Need, give it his head, goes up to Renosu, Benedetta, then Rich Fortune, but it's What You Need. What You Need comes clear. Nice winner. What You Need from Renosu Benedetta.
He looks a quality horse. He races like a quality horse. Trainer thinks he's a quality horse, and I think Ben Malham is very enthusiastic about his level of ability. That was a terrific performance, an exciting race. I think Benedetta lost anything to my eye, having to be a bit further forward from that inside draw. Brendan, how did you see this clash down the straight?
I think Barriers really robbed us of an intriguing contest. It was a good contest the way it was, but just the way the race shaped up, that inside division didn't really help Benedetta. He's a serious horse, this guy, isn't he? You know, nothing more than a shake of the reins at him for him to pick up, dash away, and then prick his ears on the line like he just had a little bit of a bit of work. He was absolutely awesome the way he went about it, and it's just going to be interesting to follow him through to see how he progresses. Renosu, I thought, ran a tremendous race. He gave a good kick for a fleeting moment at about the 200. You thought he was going to make a real race of it for What You Need, but the winner's class shone through. I thought Benedetta ran a tremendous race in second. If you go back and have a look, the horses she was following into the race, I'm sure they would have liked Arctic Fairy to go a little bit harder on that inside brigade. But having a look at the first, down to Greece, of the first seven across the line, six of them have come from that outside brigade. She was hanging off the inside of the inside lot. If you break them up into two races, put a line down the middle, inside race, outside race, she's beaten the likes of KGB and Sebenac by about seven or eight lengths. So a real creditable performance for mine, for Benedetta, to be only beaten 1.2, considering she had little favours down that inside section. She Dances has run well. Rich Fortune has run a good race. So has Lady Di in Greece. And a horse that had no luck at all was Wild Bell. Came up the centre of the track, held up for a long time, was rolling through the line at the back end. But love to see him go to a Goodwood on the back of a trip to Sydney, because I think it'd be a real race for him to notch that Group 1 early in his career. But gee, you'd have to say at the moment that that racing's his oyster, and it's up to him what destiny he wants to take. But he could be a real top liner this time in 1, maybe 2 years' time.
Such an exciting horse and a race. I suppose if you take a line through Renosu, if he's going to take on Aft Cabin in the Arrowfield Sprint, Brad, then he's probably going to have to go up a level. But who's to say when meeting better opposition, he might raise the bar himself. That's what good horses tend to do.
Yeah, and I suppose the other way to look at it is maybe Renosu's absolutely flying. And once he gets into a race where he doesn't have to meet the likes of What You Need and Benedetta, he's going to be something to hold out. But there was a real anticipation around this race. It legitimately had the build-up and the expectation. In the five or ten minutes before, it had a Group 1 feel about it. Now, I'm not suggesting anyone expects those horses to step into a Group 1 race next time out and perform to Group 1 level, but I think the fact that they are so lightly raced and stringing together all these victories put a lot of expectation around that race, and it was a very welcome addition to that Australian Cup Day card. Well done to Racing Victoria for the foresight to put that race on. A few eyebrows were raised when it was announced that they were chucking $340,000 more onto a listed three-year-old race at the back end of the carnival, but I think they were rewarded with the field that they drew yesterday, and it might prove a good stepping stone to a race like the Arrowfield Sprint with these horses from Victoria. So I love what we saw there yesterday. Benedetta was fantastic, even though she was beaten. If you reverse the barriers, you might have reversed the result, because What You Need would have had to do a little bit, probably more work, and not be in the ideal part of the track if he had started down in barrier one. But I don't think there's anyone mounting too big a case to suggest that there were too many more positives or negatives against any runners than what they actually produced yesterday. So I love the race that we saw. I love the performances of those that filled the top three, and looking forward to seeing how they progress when they do step up in class.
Getting through the last couple of races, race 8, over 1,400 metres, not an option, produce something like his best to get off the back of Cardinal Gem.
Daytona Bay, grabbed by Not an Option at the clock tower from Cardinal Gem, then Pinstripe Riddle Be That, Not an Option, 100 metres to go, draws clear about a length and a half, Cardinal Gem, Pinstriped, and Not an Option. Not an Option's won it from Cardinal Gem, Pinstriped. Head bobber
solid
Ford,
performance.
Bay,
Cardinal Gem forced to cover ground. Not an option to my eye. Brad, had the good stalking run, albeit covering ground, but with cover. How did you see the second last?
Yeah, great ride from Patrick Maloney. Mike Maloney's been talking this horse up his last two starts. He suggested before the previous run that he was going to run a big race, and things worked out a little bit differently for him yesterday, and that was off the back of a great ride by Patrick Maloney. He was going to find himself stuck very wide, but he somehow managed to find the back of Cardinal Gem, and that proved very beneficial, because you could tell a long, long way out that he was going to be the horse to beat. Pinstripe was a much improved run, but still looked like a hard ride for Blake Shin. Just wanted to lay in over the concluding stages. So if he goes straight, he probably finishes a little bit closer, but Enver Yusufovic would be thrilled to have seen an improved performance from him. And a couple that finished outside the placings that didn't have the clearest passage when the race was hotting up, Milton Park and Riddle Me That, they were both very good.
How do you see the second last, Brendan?
Not an option good. Early move from Patrick Maloney was the one that won him the race. He was almost contemplating going back in the first couple of hundred metres, but there was the option there to roll three deep on the back of Cardinal Gem and get a nicer ride in the race than going back, and that was the winning move for mine. He had been threatening to win. He's won well. Cardinal Gem's run well. Pinstripe, I'm still a little bit jury out on him. He loomed into the race like he was ready to really let rip and just still wanted to hang. He's still doing a few things wrong. Daytona Bay, a little disappointing. Milton Park isn't far off winning a race. You wouldn't have thought. Now Rocco needs it wet.
Out wide in the track seemed to the place to be in the last down the straight. Top and tail in the meeting, Sydney Alderson, this time with Stormbolt with the blinkers on.
They link onto the course proper at the 550 to North Star by a length to Danny Sundarsi, My Yankee Girl. Then came Lumber Punk. Storm Boulder's right there on the outside. McNeil looks over to his left to see who he's got to beat. And Anilla over on the far side is coming into it too. As they reach the 250 to North Star, Anilla with Storm Bolt and Miss Middle Park right down the outside with Mars Mission coming on. Storm Bolt takes the lead at the 100 from Miss Middle Park. Storm Bolt is clear from Miss Middle Park, and Storm Bolt wins it. The final favourite, Storm Bolt wins it,
Brendan,
from Miss Middle
Park. From the stewards report, probably of note in particular, My Yankee Girl, who was disappointing. Blake Shin couldn't offer no explanation, but she was revealed to pull up with a slow recovery. How do you see the last?
Race for those horses down the outside. I was happy to be on Stormbolt. I was even happier at the 400 when Jai McNeil was swinging off him. And I'm sure he might have had a little giggle at that 400-metre mark when he just had a look over his left shoulder just to see how the rest of them were going, because he looked to have plenty of horse left. And the only danger from that point was going to be Miss Middle Park sitting on his back and if she was going to be able to get past him. But he's a big, strong lad, Stormbolt, and he ran right through the line there yesterday. I thought it was a very, very... very good win. Miss Middle Park maintains her form. Mars Missions ran okay. Typhoon Harmony, I thought, was solid enough. And Denore Star battled okay. And Nilla might have finished closer if he was in that outside brigade. But all honours to the winner there. It was an impressive win leading into the run at Flemington. And he delivered and really took a big step up there yesterday, the way he went about winning.
Brad?
Yeah, he's a good example of a horse that can benefit from being given time. He had his issues early in his life, was given an extra 12 months in the paddock. He's going to turn five soon. He's only had five starts, but he's now three wins in a couple of seconds, and you'd think there's going to be more to come, because one of the talking points after the race was just how blown away everyone has been by the improvement he has made since he's had the addition of blinkers. So with a little bit more racing and a little bit more ring craft and improvement that he's going to take out of the benefit of getting more runs under his belt, I wouldn't be shocked this time next year if he's capable of winning a very big race. Miss Middle Park was good, so too Mars Mission. Typhoon Harmony at a big price has run another good race fresh, and My Yankee Rose was quite disappointing in the run, started well fancied in the market, finished well down the track, and Blake Shin could offer no explanation for the poor performance.
No, slow recovery noted post the veterinary examination, but yeah, below market expectations for sure. Thrilling Australian Cup, the clash of What You Need and Benedetta, one of the highlights at Flemington yesterday also. Group 1 racing at Rosehill, have a look at that after this break.
Correct Weight, brought to you by TAB. For racing on TAB, download the TAB app. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
And Soul Choice is the leader, but Pavitra's looming large on the outside and a length away to Prowess. It's Pavitra getting the upper hand from Soul Choice, but here comes the Kiwi filly. Prowess is coming home hard, and Prowess moved up now, takes the lead in the Vinery Stud Stakes, and she's a class act, pulling right away, Prowess, to win it by 3.5 to Pavitra.
Of the Kiwis, we saw Imperatrix on Friday night, Legato winning the Guineas, and what a dominant performance from Prowess, and Pavitra, who was coming off a dominant win at Kembla herself going into that. Brendan, for me, that was the run of the day yesterday. How did you see the performance of Prowess?
Yeah, if you're on Pavitra, you're pretty happy with yourself at about the 300 when she ambled up to the lead and looked like she had some gears left, but the winner, unfortunately, has got a few more gears than her. Had a nice ride in behind from Zara, but it was just the dominance late where she was able to really run them into the ground and put some good fillies away in a very short space of time. I think she's run really well. Pavitra, she was good in the way she went about it. I think the winner's just better than her. Pierre Rosso made some nice ground from the back. And I thought Fireburn was doing enough. She was closing okay back down towards the inside, suggesting that Out in Trip Again holds no bars for her, and maybe she might be one that that wants a bit of that rain to come for the autumn. But she was super the way she put them away yesterday, Prowess. And in a very short space of time, she was able to go from right there with them to 4 to 5 lengths in front.
At the airport, just about on the way home, may even be on a plane already to New Zealand. Brad, what did you make of the winner Prowess yesterday?
Yeah, I was on Pavitra at the 500-metre mark. I thought, I think we've got this Kiwi filly beaten. And then 200 metres later, I thought, I hope we can run second for the sake of my Quinella. Because, gee, she was awesome late. And when they cross the line, you think, oh, geez, how are they going to beat her in the Oaks? But she's not going there. As you mentioned, Warren, she's heading home. So What it does do, her not heading onto the Oaks, makes the Oaks a much more interesting race because the performance of Pavitra didn't necessarily speak to me of a horse that should be $2.50 for a race like that. There were some very good runs behind by horses you think are going to be better once they get up to the Oaks trip. Pierosa Polygon was another one, and Fireburn, she looked like she is ready for the Oaks trip as well. So it's going to be really interesting, that Oaks in a couple of weeks' time. Just from a ratings point of view, it was one of the better rating Vinery wins we've seen. Slight Chance, she's the benchmark. That was a long time ago, though. She went 121. Prowess ran 116 yesterday, and since Moshine went 120, the only one that has posted a higher winning figure than Moshine was Very Elegant, who ran 118. So she's in very good company, Prowess.
The other group one was the Tancred over 2,400 metres, and Bjorn Baker had a rapo in winning form following the victory in the Canberra Cup.
And Knight's Order is trying to repel that challenge of King Frankel. Knight's Order lifting from King Frankel. Two lengths away to Sir Lucan. Arapahoe running on. And then came Modifilius Del 3 off them. King Frankel, Knight's Order, Arapahoe chiming in. And Modifilius well wide out. Arapahoe moved up to King Frankel. Arapahoe, King Frankel. Modifilius stretching late. Arapahoe just in front. And Arapahoe won the Tancred just from Modifilius. Third between Valentair and...
Maybe a lead up to the Sydney Cup for a few of these, potentially a Melbourne Cup for some. How did you see the Tancred?
Well, we saw Arapahoe run well. He ran first half of the field in last year's Melbourne Cup, and he's come back a better horse this time around. So did I think he was going to win a weight for age 2,400 metre group one coming into the preparation? No. Montefiore has run well again. She was probably the benchmark weight for age horse in that race. She's run well, just wasn't able to run them down. A few good Sydney Cup trials behind. King Frankel gave a sight for Tyler Shillett. Vow and Declare just left a little bit flat-footed, took a little bit of time to wind up, but I loved his last 50 metres. If they do go to a Sydney Cup with him, he'd be something to beat. Cleveland, a deserved favourite, though. He drops a lot of weight. He was fantastic there yesterday. You'd think there'd be improvement from him. And I don't know what to make of Gold Trip. Maybe he is just crying out for that wet track, because he was disappointing last week, and I expected to see a little bit more from him yesterday as well.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Winner had the right running behind Arapahoe. Montefilia, she had the run to finish off. She had the speed on. She had a good run midfield. King Frankel, I thought, battled on okay. Vow and Declare ran honestly. Horse for mine to take out of that race is Cleveland. 51 in the Sydney Cup. He's about $4.50 at the moment with Tab. He's the horse to follow. He's the horse I'll be backing Sydney Cup Day.
Really ramping up in Sydney the next couple of weeks with the championships. Next week, first day of the championships, the Doncaster, the TJ, the Derby and the Sires. Really looking forward to that. Now it's time for the boys' runs of the day. Horses to follow from yesterday.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
And we'll kick that off with you, Brad.
You've issued a spoiler alert, Warren, and I'm jumping on the Prowess team. I'm going to give her the run of the day as well. She was fantastic up in Sydney. I've got a short list for horses to follow. You could chuck Treasure Way and Snapped in there, but I'm going to go with our patroness as well. Been firmly on board her the past couple, just in terms of an eye looking forward. And I hope they can find the right race for her next time out, because she's flying.
Great work, Brad. Look forward to doing it all again next week.
Been a pleasure, like you say, really ramping up in Sydney. It's going to be a Doncaster for the ages. That's the race I'm most looking forward to next week.
You'll be trying to find us some winners for this afternoon. Brendan Shortley in Sunday Central. What are we looking forward to in that program the next couple of hours?
Preview of Bairnsdale Cup Day with Trav Noonan. Nick Noonan will take us through the program of racing at Donald. We'll talk greyhounds with George Ferrugia. Tom Wood will join us to talk Hong Kong racing. Nicole Thomas from the Tab with all the sports updates with the markets heading towards a big afternoon of AFL and NRL. And, of course, Oyen Cup Day as well in the trots. Two trots meetings today, Cranbourne and Oyen, but it's Cup Day Oyen, and no doubt they'll get a big crowd there for one of two meetings they have for the year. But, Bairnsdale Cup program is the headline act today, Warren.
How do you wrap up yesterday?
Run of the day, I'm going to stick local and I'm going to go with What You Need. I just think if we're sitting here in 12 months' time, he just might be the boom horse of Australian racing if he continues on his trajectory. Horse to follow for mine. Not very often I venture outside of Victoria, Warren, but I thought Cleveland was very, very good yesterday in the Tancred, and I think he's the horse to be following and backing in the Sydney Cup.
Great work, Brendan. Looking forward to Sunday Central, the next couple of hours. Prowess, the run of the day for me. And I thought Riddle Me That showed nice improvement. Second up without the best of luck. The right grade, there'll be a race for Riddle Me That in the weeks ahead. He's my horse to follow.